with you tonight. I'll ask you to grab those and turn with us to the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. Book of Genesis, chapter number 22. And there we'll find our text. Genesis chapter number 22. We have come tonight to what is undoubtedly one of the greatest chapters in all the Word of God. In fact, if you was to accumulate a list, and this is just my opinion, but if you was to accumulate a list, maybe the top 10, top 15 chapters in all the pages of the Word of God, I don't think you could do that list without including Genesis chapter number 22 on there. This is undoubtedly one of the heights of the Scriptures. And we'll follow Abraham on top of Mount Moriah, a story we're well familiar with. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll turn to the text and see if we can't learn something from the Scriptures tonight. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here. And God, I pray that you'd help us in these next few moments. Lord, cleanse us of sin where we failed you. God, illuminate our mind, give us the mind of Christ, and help us rightly divide the Word of God. Father, may we be an encouragement to these people tonight through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was at the age of 75 that God first spoke to Abraham. And when God spoke to Abraham for the first time, he did so by making him a great promise. God told Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. With that promise, however, came a challenge. God asked Abraham to leave his country and leave his people behind and travel to a place that he did not know. The first request from God was a challenge of Abraham's faith. The first act of faith in the life of Abraham was to leave the comforts of home, leave family, and distance himself from the world that he lived in at that time. Do you realize that the first calling or act of faith that God still requires of you and me is the very same thing? God comes to us in our sins, in the world, and He calls unto us with the promise of a better country, but He calls with a challenge. He says, come out from among them and be separate. I want you to leave the world. I want you to leave your lifestyle. I want you to leave everything that you've known, and I want you to follow me. That's what Jesus did, was it not, when He called many of those disciples? He would walk by that fishing boat and He would say to them, lay down your nets, follow me, and become fishers of men. That's the first act of faith that God calls upon you and I to perform. That, however, is not the last act of faith that God asks of us. The life of Abraham was filled with tests that directly impacted his faith. Over these last Wednesday nights, we have watched Abraham go through test and trial, one right after the other, that has strengthened him and taught him and brought him along in his life with God. Whether it was a famine in the land of Canaan, whether it was a gift offered to him by the king of Sodom, or waiting 25 years on the promised child, all of these things exercised the faith of Abraham. You see, the faith you display at salvation is not the last faith. Your life as a Christian will be faced with trials and temptations. God is going to test your faith, and God is going to work your faith, and God is going to challenge your faith. And if you never allow God to test and try and challenge you, you will always and forever be an immature, weak baby Christian. At this point in his life, Abraham is over 100 years old. You would think that at over 100 years old, Abraham would have learned everything there was to learn, would you not? You've heard the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Maybe Abraham would think, I've learned everything I can learn. I've been tested every way I can be tested. And God said, not so, Abraham. I've got something else for you to learn. You see, you never get to the point where God doesn't have something to teach you. If you ever get to the point where God's done teaching you things, He'll take you home. He'll have no purpose for you here. God is going to teach Abraham some things. You're familiar with Genesis chapter 22. We learned this passage of Scripture from a Sunday school child. But tonight I want us to revisit this old story. And I want to preach for just a few minutes on this thought: the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Here's what I want to do. I want to do something a little different tonight. I want to give you my 3 points as usual. And then at the end of the message, I want to give you just a little thought that you can chew on and take home with you about this passage of Scripture. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, I want you to write down the request of faith. The request of faith. Look at verse number one. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountain which I will tell thee of." As I just mentioned, God is now asking something of Abraham that takes extraordinary faith. I do not believe that the Abraham of Genesis 12 could have passed this test. I don't think the Abraham of 25 years ago could have walked up Moriah as this Abraham did and offered his son. But God has taught and God has trained and God has brought Abraham through many things. And Abraham is the man of faith now. He is the patriarch of the faith, the father of the faith. He is the Abraham that Paul and James would later write about, the Hebrew writer would mention. He is the strong Abraham. God has brought him to this point in his life where he could face this great challenge, and he could pass this great challenge, and he could walk up this mountain as God is asking him to. You see, faith, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Faith is like a muscle. And the more you exercise faith, the stronger that faith becomes. Abraham is much further today than he was in Genesis chapter 12, 25 years ago. I thought about something. We were singing as a congregation tonight, and the second song we sung said this in the chorus. It said, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him." I wonder how often we pause and think about the words that we're singing. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him more. You know how we can trust Him? Because we've proved Him. We've tried Him. We've tested Him. And He's proven Himself faithful. And when God proves Himself faithful and He tests us tomorrow, we can say, if God did it then, God can do it today. You see, we grow and we develop and we strengthen our faith. And that is what Abraham is doing. Now I want you to notice something. The Bible says in verse number one that God did tempt Abraham. Now, I don't want to preach on this, but I feel like I need to say it, and then I'll move on. There are some people that believe that God tempts them or brings them into places of sin to test them and to try them. God is tempting me with this sin. Allow me to say to you tonight, God never has, nor will He ever tempt anyone with sin. Amen. You cannot find that in the Bible. You will not find that to be true. The Bible says in James 1:13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God tempteth no man." Now you say, well, Brother Josh, how could James say that God doesn't tempt anybody? But Genesis 21:1 says, "And God did tempt Abraham." How can those two things work together? James is saying God doesn't tempt anybody with sin. The word tempt in Genesis 1 or 21:1 could also be said tried, or brought him to a trial, or challenged Abraham. You see, while God does not tempt us with sin, God does place us in trials so that He can evolve and grow our faith. And the temptation of verse 1 was not a temptation of sin. It was God placing Abraham in a situation where his faith would be tested, where his faith would be tried, and he thereby would be strengthened. God said, Abraham, I want you to go to the land of Moriah. And I've got a certain mountain in mind that I want you to offer your son. I'll deal with Moriah. Now deal with the mountain at the end of the message. But for now, look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And if you're making mental notes, I want you to make a mental note of verse number 4 when it says, when on the third day. Verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you. Throughout the Bible, we read stories where men faced their Mount Moriahs, where men came to what was undoubtedly the greatest test of their faith. I believe Joseph faced his Mount Moriah while he was in prison. I believe that Moses faced his Mount Moriah when he stood with the Red Sea in front of him and Pharaoh's army behind him and he had nowhere to go. God tested his faith. I believe Jesus Christ faced his Moriah when he walked up Calvary and he gave his life for the sins of the world. But before Joseph and before Moses and before even Jesus faced their Moriahs, Abraham faces his. And God now brings him to the greatest trial of his life. And I want you to consider for just a moment what it is that God is asking Abraham to do. We know that this must have been difficult for Abraham. God was asking him to sacrifice his child. Can you imagine how devastating that request must have been in the life of Abraham? I want you to give up your child. I can't imagine giving up one of my children. Cannot imagine it. There have been days, Brother Tom, I would have let you borrow my children for a few days. But to give them up, no way. But wait a minute. He was not just asking him to give up his son. He was asking him to give up his only son. Is that not right? Was it not in the previous verses, previous chapters, that we read that God told Abraham to cast out Ishmael? That means Isaac's the only son, and God said, I want him. No, wait a minute. This was not just the son, and this was not just the only son. This was the promised son. This was the son that he'd been waiting on for 25 years. This is the one that God had told him about and God had given him the promise of. This is the one that God had brought into this world by an impossible birth that it could not happen. This was the miracle child. And God said, I want him. Can you imagine the pain and the heartache that Abraham experienced when God said, I want you to offer Isaac? Now, I want you to notice with me tonight what the Bible tells us and what it does not tell us. The Bible tells us in verse number 1 that God speaks to Abraham and says, I want you to go into the land of Moriah and there offer your son on the mountain. I'll show you. Verse 1. Verse 3, the Bible tells us, and early the next morning, Abraham saddled his asses, got his servants, and headed to the land of Moriah. It almost seems to me, Brother Mike, when I read the text, that maybe God appeared to Abraham in the morning or maybe in midday like he had done before. And God gave Abraham the plan. And the very next day, he heads out to do the thing that God told him to do. The Bible tells us that that's what I know. Here's what I don't know. I don't know what took place between this morning and this morning. I don't know what happened between verse 1 go to the land of Moriah and offer Isaac. In verse 3, he got up early in the morning and saddled his asses. The Bible doesn't tell me what that night was like between those two events. I wonder if Abraham wrestled with God that night. Did Abraham pray? I don't know. Did Abraham cry? I can only imagine. Did Abraham ask God, why, God, why? I don't know. If it would have been me, I would have done all those things. Maybe Abraham didn't do any of those things. Maybe Abraham was so strong in the faith, he just trusted God and never worried. But Abraham was still in the flesh, and I've got to imagine he probably wrestled with God that night. Whether he worried or he didn't worry, I do know this. I know that no matter what that night was like, Brother Tom, the next morning he got up and did what God said to do. I said that to say this. There will be times in your life, mark it down, Christian, there will be times in your Christian experience when God brings you to a Moriah. And you will not understand God. You will not be able to figure out God's plan. Things will not make sense in your world. But whether it makes sense or it doesn't make sense, you have but only one choice, and that is to obey the voice of God. I see the request of faith. Number two, I see the reliance of faith. The reliance of faith. Verse 5, let's read several verses and then we'll back up and tell this story. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they come into the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now there are three statements, I believe, that are made in these passages, verse 5 through 14, that tell us the story. In fact, these three statements tell us Abraham's faith, his reliance of faith. I want you to notice the first one. It's in verse number 5. The Bible says that when they arrive at the place where God directs them, they come to the foot of Mount Moriah. Abraham begins to give instructions. Abraham says to his young men, abide here with the ass. You men stay here. And notice what Abraham says. And I and the lad will go up yonder and worship, and mark these next words, and come again to you. Abraham is going on top of that mountain to offer his son. But when Abraham stands at the bottom of that mountain, there's something in the heart of Abraham that tells him God is going to provide a miracle. He doesn't know what it's going to be, and he don't know how it's going to play out. All he knows is this. He's going up there with Isaac, and he has no intentions of bringing a corpse back. In fact, God said, offer Isaac as a burnt offering. A burnt offering was not only killed, it was consumed in the fire. He did not plan on coming down that hill alone. When he come back down off that mountain, in his heart and in his mind, Isaac was coming with him. He said, you stay here, we're going to worship, and we'll be back. Amen. Amen. That's what he said. God had told him, offer Isaac, but he also had told him Isaac would be the father of nations and the father of multitudes. And while those things did not make sense in his mind, he knew God was true to every word he spoke. And so if God said, this boy is the promised boy that'll be the father of multitudes, he knew Isaac was coming back. Amen. Amen. The Hebrew writer, writing about this great man of faith in Hebrews 11, says in verse 17, 18, and 19, he said, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Accounting God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him as a figure. Abraham believed he would offer him. He believed the fire would consume him. And then he believed God would get him up again. Amen. That's the only way he could figure it out. But he said, whatever happens, we're coming back. Amen. I want you to notice this second phrase. Look in verse number 8. And Abraham said, my son, and mark these next words, God will provide himself a lamb. In my mind, I can see Abraham and the servants, Isaac, as they get off of their donkeys, and they begin to unload the things necessary for the sacrifice. Maybe Abraham goes to one of the saddle bags that are on the donkey, and he opens one of it up, and he begins to get the wood that was tied up on that donkey, and he begins to hand Isaac the wood. And then he goes over to this other donkey and he opens the pouch up and he pulls out a knife that he's going to use to make the sacrifice with. And then he goes over to another pouch and he gets the things necessary to make the fire. And as Abraham and Isaac begin to walk up the mountain, something occurs to Isaac. He's got the wood. They got the things necessary for the fire. They've even got the knife to kill the sacrifice, but they've got no sacrifice. And Isaac said, Dad, sir, I've got a question. He said, Dad, we've got the wood and we've got the fire and we've got the knife, but Dad, where's the sacrifice? And this was Abraham's word. Boy, don't worry about the sacrifice. God will provide himself a sacrifice. Son, you don't worry about that. You see, God spoke to Abraham in verse 1. God didn't speak to Isaac. Abraham knew the plan. Isaac didn't know the plan. When Isaac asked about the sacrifice, the simple response is, God will provide. That's the response. Now, I'm sure, I don't know. Again, I'm using my imagination. You'll have to let me use my imagination. That's the best way I can understand things. In my mind, Dad, as Isaac says, Dad, where's the sacrifice at? In my mind, I can almost feel Abraham's heart as it's ripped in two. Because he knows something Isaac doesn't know, that he's the sacrifice. I bet Abraham's choking back tears as he answers his son. I bet if you'd have reached over and felt his pulse, his heart's beating a million miles a minute. I bet if you could have felt his hands, they were probably sweaty. His heart was breaking in two. But yet the response comes, God will provide. Hey, can I say that God provided then and God still provides today. God was able to do it then and God can still do it now. God will, God always has, and God will always provide for his children. You may have to stand up inside of your soul from time to time. And when your flesh is weak and your flesh says, how's this going to work out? You may have to rise up inside of yourself and with a shaky voice say, I don't know how, but I know God will provide. Statement one, we're going to worship and we're coming back. Statement two, God will provide. Statement three is found in verse number 14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. When they arrive on the top of the mountain, Abraham makes ready the sacrifice. After laying the wood in order, Abraham does something that he never believed he would have to do. He takes his son and he lays him on the altar. With a broken heart, but a heart filled with faith at the same time, Abraham takes the knife. And he raises it up toward heaven. And just about the time he's going to do the unthinkable, God speaks from heaven and says, wait a minute. Abraham had passed the test. Abraham had been obedient to the voice of God, no matter his circumstances. What Abraham did not know, Brother David, is that while he was going up one side of Moriah, there was a ram going up the other side of Moriah. He didn't see that. He didn't know that. He never saw that ram headed up the other side. But he said, I know my God, and my God always provides. My God always has a plan. He didn't know the plan. He never saw the ram. But he walked up that mountain with faith in his heart. God will always provide. And can I say, you might be walking up one side of Moriah tonight, and you may not be able to see it, but you just stay true to God. You just stay faithful to God. There may be a ram headed up the other side of your Moriah. You can't see it, but God always provides. Abraham, there's a ram caught in the thicket. With a joyful heart, Abraham replaces Isaac with the ram. Offers the sacrifice, and then I believe he shouted it. I believe he shouted, Jehovah Jireh. You say, what's that mean? Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will see to it. Or it literally means this, the Lord will provide. I believe the Jehovah Jireh, Brother Mike, on top of the mountain was different than the Jehovah Jireh at the bottom of the mountain. He said with a broken heart at the bottom of the mountain, God will provide. But now he stands on the mountaintop of faith, having passed the test, having been true to God and found him faithful. And he shouts with a heart of rejoicing, my God provides Jehovah Jireh. Hey, you may have to say Jehovah Jireh at the bottom of the mountain before you'll ever be able to say it at the top. But if you're willing to say it at the bottom, God will let you shout it when you get to the top. I see the request of faith. I see the reliance of faith. Let me show you one more thing, and then I'll give you a post-credit scene, and we're out of here. I want you to see the reward of faith. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, then in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. When the test of faith is complete, God speaks to Abraham one more time. In fact, as far as we can tell, this will be the last time God speaks to Abraham. And this is what he says. If I can put it in just common vernacular, this is what he said. Abraham, well done. well done. I believe it made it worth it all. When Abraham stood there and he had passed the test and the Heavenly Father approved, I believe it made it worth it all. Well done. Abraham, I'm going to give you as many children as there is stars in the sky. We've heard that before, haven't we? I'm going to give you as many children as there are sands on the seashore. We've heard that before, haven't we? Abraham, I'm going to bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. We've heard that before. God just gave him the same promises one more time, one final time. But I believe this time it was different. Because this time he had tried God and he had found him faithful. Can I say tonight, no matter what you're going through, trust God and obey God. God's got some good promises. He'll never fail his promises. But the greatest thing will be one day you'll stand before God. And God will say, you remember that Moriah I put you through? You remember that test? Well done. Job, in the midst of his Moriah, said, I don't understand God. I can't even find God. But I know when I'm done, I'll come forth like gold. Well done, Job, come the reply at the end of the book. Well done. That'll make it worth it all. I wonder for just a moment if there's anybody that needs to come pray. I want to give you a few things just to think about and take home with you, but I just feel like before I do, I ought to give the opportunity in case somebody wants to come pray. Anybody need to come pray? Maybe you need to come say, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you. Maybe you're standing at the foot of a trial and you need to say, God's going to provide. Anybody like that? Anybody else need to come while we wait for a moment? Give you the opportunity to pray. You say, God is putting me through more than I can bear. But God already promised he'd not put more on you than you could bear. What you don't realize is that that thing may be bigger than you, and it may be more than you can handle alone, but you're not handling it alone. There's a constant companion that walks by your side. And he promised that if you'd come to him, he'd make your burden easy. God always provides. They sing that song, I may not know how and I may not know when, but he'll do it again. What he's done yesterday, he'll do again. Anybody else need to pray? Okay. I don't know if he told Sarah or not. I don't know. The Bible never says whether he told Sarah or not. I believe it was something between him and God. I believe it was something between him and God. And I believe that may have been one of the reasons it was so difficult. He had to wrestle it alone. I don't know. He may have told Sarah, but the Bible doesn't say. Yes, sir. God had turned her laughter into rejoicing. Hebrews 11 also speaks of her as a hero of faith. She learned some things. She grew from that. But I don't know if she could have handled it. It had been tough to tell Mama. All right, let me show you a couple things. We're out of here. This is just some things I found very interesting. The Bible says in John chapter number 8, verse number 56, John 8, 56, Jesus says this, "And your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now, how in the world did Abraham, who lived thousands of years before Jesus Christ, see Jesus Christ? How's that even possible? I believe that Abraham saw Jesus Christ when he saw Isaac. Think about a couple things with me. I believe that the day Isaac was born, Abraham saw the birth of Jesus Christ. Isaac's birth was a miraculous birth, was it not? In fact, would you agree with me that Isaac's birth was an impossible birth? It was not physically possible for Sarah to have a child. And yet God did something in the womb of a woman who could not have a child, and he allowed her to do the impossible. Thousands of years later, God would move into the womb of another woman who it was impossible for her to have a child, named Mary, and God would bring a miraculous child into this world. I also believe that on top of Mount Moriah, Abraham saw the death of Christ. He saw the birth of Christ when Isaac was born. And I believe in Genesis 22, he saw the death of Jesus Christ. Notice a few things with me. Notice, first of all, that this was a work of both the Father and the Son. Twice in this story, you read the phrase, "they went both together." Speaking of Abraham and Isaac, "and they went both together," was not the work of Calvary, both the work of the Father and the Son. God so loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Son loved the world so much that he willingly laid down his life. And the Father loved the Son, and the Son loved the Father. And Calvary was a work of love by both the Father and the Son. Not only was it a work of the Father and the Son, it was a work of death. The Bible is clear that when Abraham took the knife with him to Moriah, he intended on killing his son. I'll say it this way. Isaac was called upon to give his life on top of a hillside. Now wait a minute. Notice what the Bible says about Isaac in verse number 6. "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it upon Isaac." The thing that was going to take Isaac's life, he had to carry up on top of the mountain himself. He carried the wood up the hillside that he was going to die on. That sound familiar to you? Oh, did not Christ carry the cross up the hillside that he would give his life on? But notice this. God not only said, "I want you to take your son. He's going to die. He's going to carry the wood." But he said, "I want you to travel to Moriah to do it." Now think about something. You just hang on for a minute right here. Why couldn't Abraham have offered Isaac in the land of Canaan where they were already at? Why did he have to travel to Moriah to do it? In fact, he was to go to a specific hillside in Moriah, and there he was to offer Isaac. Years later, Solomon would build a temple in Jerusalem, city that sat on a hill. Do you know what that hill that Jerusalem sat on was? It was Moriah. In fact, I've never been to the Holy Land. I can go next year if somebody wants to loan me $3,500. Just putting that out there. I've already got 20. Somebody gave me 20 toward it. So I need 34.80. You pray about it. But if you go to the Holy Land, you'll discover that the hillside of Jerusalem and Golgotha are not really two hillsides, but one. There's a street separating the two, but it's the same hillside. And it was, in fact, the name of the hill, it's Moriah. And Jesus Christ carried his cross up a hillside called Moriah. There he offered his life for the sins of the world. Why do you think God said, go to Moriah? There's a certain hill there I want you to visit. I'm going to let you offer your son there. You say, was it the same hill? I don't know. I'm just saying that hillside is Moriah. Think about this. Isaac was willing to lay his life down freely on top of that hill. I don't read one time, Brother James, where Isaac said, now, Dad, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do this. I will not allow you to do this. In fact, he probably said something like this. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. In fact, I think we get it wrong in the Sunday school stories. In the Sunday school stories, we got the little pictures that we color, and there's Abraham and a little boy. But in the very next chapter, something's going to happen. Sarah is going to die. Sarah will be 127 years old when she dies in the next chapter. Let's do some math. She was 90 when Isaac was born. She dies at 127. How many years is that? 37 years. It seems as though Genesis 22 doesn't take place too many days before the death of Sarah. Most Bible commentators, hang on, say that Isaac was between 30, but probably around 33 years old when he walked up Moriah in Genesis chapter 22. How old was Jesus again when he died? 33. In fact, if he is 33, that means Abraham's 133. Do you not think a 33-year-old man in the prime of life could have overpowered a 133-year-old man? But he willingly laid down his life. When the Father said, I want you to lay your life down, he said, not my will, but thy will, Father, be done. I'm not done. On top of Moriah, Abraham received his son back to life. Did he not? Now, you say, now, but Brother Josh, that's where the typology breaks down. Because Abraham didn't offer Isaac. And God did offer his son. So the typology breaks right there. But now think about something for me for a minute. I believe in the heart of the Father, the Son died in Genesis 22:1 when God said, you're going to offer your child. In the heart of the Father, Isaac died, verse number 1. And I told you to think about this a minute ago. He died in the heart of the Father, verse 1. And they traveled for 3 days to Moriah. And on top of Moriah, he receives his son back to life again. Oh, what a picture of the death of Christ who died in the Father and 3 days later got up. I'll give you one better and I'm out of here. I even see the rapture in Genesis 22. You say, how in the world can you see the rapture? I want you to look at a verse with me. Look at verse 19. Still got your Bible open, verse 19. I'll read it to you. You don't have to, if you got it closed, it's okay. We know Abraham and Isaac go on top of the mountain, right? The sun goes up Calvary. 3 days later, he's brought back to life again. But verse 19 says, and Abraham returned unto his young men. Never says Isaac returned. Now, we know he returned. We know that. But the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, do you know the next time we'll read about Isaac in the Bible, you know what he'll be doing? Brother David, he'll be coming out to receive his bride. The very next time he walks up the Calvary's hillside, he arises from the dead. And the next time we read about the son, he's coming out into the field to receive his bride. As atop the Holy Spirit, Eleazar, the high priest, or the servant, goes and gets her, brings her home. Top of the rapture, right there. Genesis chapter 22. I believe Abraham was correct when Abraham said, on top of the mountain, the Lord will provide. Because thousands of years later, Jesus Christ would walk up on top of the mountain and God would provide a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we've had to be here. Thank you for the chance to preach. Lord, I am amazed at your word. Lord, I am amazed at how profound, God, these words are. Lord, I'm so thankful for Jesus Christ and his work on Calvary. Thank you for what you've done in our heart. Thank you, Lord, that we can say with assurance, no matter what comes our way, God will provide. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you for